How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Time for the final hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Plenty going on today. Today has been a day of news stories for sure. It's nice to have those and even some action. And with that in mind, it is Chris Mason time here on the show. He joins us to talk a little bit of Predators, and it's nice to have a few things to talk about. Mace, first of all, happy Canada Day to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. Good day. Good day.
A good day indeed. And another reason it's a good day is there are actually some Phase 2 workouts going on at Bridgestone Arena. Some Predator players together on the ice in the small groups.
Yeah, I mean, that's the step that, you know, I guess it's all day-to-day in this whole process and to get to that point because, you know, everything up until this point was, quite frankly, it's been tentative, kind of based on how everything is going health-wise for everybody and the whole, you know, COVID situation. So the fact that everything is good enough to get the green light and get the guys back, I'm sure, as I know as a former player, there's nothing more that you want to do than to get back on the ice and play the game you love. So it's awesome to see the teams back on the ice and especially the boys in gold, that's for sure.
Yeah, and hoping to count down, and, you know, the way things are going, you know, you got to watch these carefully. You can't count your chickens without any question. But hopefully they can maneuver towards July 10th and then have really a first practice, a first real team workout in an official capacity since, I guess it would be March the 11th. I don't even know if they practiced. When we went from Montreal, they won that last game. Did they even practice the next day in Toronto? Probably not, right? So it's been since they played against the Canadiens that they've had really a group activity of any consequence.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right, Willie. And I think that morning they were supposed to have a pregame skate in Toronto, and that got put on hold because of the situation. NBA canceled the night before, and then everybody was put on hold there for the morning skate, and we're all in the hotel waiting around, and you know, the rest was history. So it's good to see the progress, and I'm just going to stay hopeful that they can find the right cities and the right way to do this and protect the players and all the staff and everybody that's involved in it. So it's going to be it's really good that it's progressing, and I guess that's at this point that's all you can ask and go day to day. Hope they're, you know, I'm sure they're going to be monitoring the players and the training staff and the coaches and everybody that's part of that group. So it's a good sign for sure.
Another piece of news that came out this morning, it looks like Bob McKenzie was the one that put it out there for TSN, that barring any last-minute complications, it will be Edmonton and Toronto. So a pair of Canadian cities will be hosting. And I think what I read is that the West will go to Edmonton and the East will go to Toronto. So that would mean, barring any last-minute complications, which, as we know, there can be, that the Predators will face off against the Coyotes in Edmonton.
Yeah, and that's great. And, you know, I guess, obviously, with what, like we mentioned before, with this situation just being so fluid and obviously, you know, they're trying to do the best to protect the players and put them in the best situation. And, you know, the Canadian cities have a ton of facilities, rinks, and different things like that that can be utilized for, I mean, you know, there's going to be 12 teams in the city for the first, you know, couple weeks at least. You know, so you got to find enough to get enough ice time and have a good setup where there's enough space for guys to get away from the rink and have those kind of activities set up for them. So that's exciting. And that's kind of where, I mean, I guess that last week they're kind of speculating that it was going to be Edmonton and Toronto. So it looks like that's where it's going to land, like you said, barring any setbacks. So it's good to know and for the guys to get that in their minds as well moving forward here. And I guess, you know, the further we progress, the more we're going to know scheduling wise. Hopefully training camp opens up on time, like you said, and then we can just keep the train rolling.
We're talking to Chris Mason, Predators analyst, former goaltender. Now, before I get to my question, some business we got to take care of. Am I correct in saying yesterday is it Avery? Was her birthday?
Yep. Yeah, it was her birthday. She turned 14. Oh my God, that's hard to fathom. Yeah, but she turned 14. She was born here in Nashville in 2006. And I was actually just talking to Brooks Bratton about that yesterday. He was talking about free agent day because obviously today is the opening of in the normal world. It's the free agent day, so we're just talking about a story. And I remember when she was born, I was actually in the hospital. She was born the 30th, and I was talking to my agent and David Poyle and Paul Fenton and all that. And I ended up signing a contract I was with Nashville the years before, but I signed. I was almost going to be a free agent. And one of the best days or coolest days, a couple days in my life for sure, with her being born. And but more importantly, signing an NHL contract. Avery was pretty cool, but the NHL contract was a little better. I'm kidding. Of course, it was a good combo. It was a great combo. I'm just kidding about that. Of course, it was the best day of my life when Avery was born.
Yeah,
but good couple days anyway.
Absolutely. Well, happy birthday to her. So one thing that with these hub cities that is Willie brought up, it looks like the East will be in the East, the West will be in the West. But as a goalie, how much do you get used to just the idiosyncrasies of the ice in which you play? So, like, for instance, you know, at Bridgestone Arena, you're so used to it. You know how the puck is going to bounce off the dasher boards or how the ice is going to, you know, to react or whatever. You know those things. You get used to playing at that rink. So is there any type of advantage at all to, if it is Edmonton and Toronto, to the Oilers or to the Maple Leafs just because they know their rink better than others?
Well, I think I definitely think the home team's got an advantage because they're going to obviously be in their own dressing room. They're going to have all their own amenities and all that kind of stuff available to them. But, you know, I was just thinking about this too yesterday or the other day is that, and Willie would probably know better than I have, but I'm pretty darn sure that if I'm a goalie and I'm both Pekka and UC Saros, I'm pretty happy that it's in Edmonton because both of those guys have been lights out in that building against the Oilers. And you do have a comfort. There's certain buildings that for whatever reason, just like when you're playing against certain teams, but those buildings are a big part of it that when you go in there, you feel good about your game. You feel comfortable. You rely on past performances, and there's just a feeling there. And I think for our guys, for Juice and Pecks, I think they got to be pretty happy because both of guys are not just good. They've been lights out, and they've been excellent and pretty much, you know, impossible to score on at times in that building. So I think that there's definitely advantages and disadvantages for certain teams to be in that situation.
Do you think that they are both looking at it, whether it's Pekka or UC that starts game one, they both have that same amount of hunger that I think is going to be dangerous and beneficial for the Predators to know that whenever their number is called, they're both going to be ready. And the Predators are going to need both of them throughout this run because of the compacted schedule. And we've talked time and time again about how this break has benefited Pekka, but just that they both have that sense of they know that they're going to be needed at some point.
Oh, 100%. There's going to be a goalie battle in every single training camp around the league. And, you know, obviously we know the situation at the end of the season. Juice was playing awesome, and he was getting the lion's share of the games, and he was going to be the guy going down the stretch. But we're talking about brand new start here. That's way too long for any of that to carry over. So I guarantee you Peck is going in there with the mindset that he wants to be the guy playing the first game, and so is Juice. These guys are both obviously very, very capable of carrying the mail when they're called upon, and this is a fresh start. I mean, this to me – honestly, this is the hardest decision that any of these coaches, that John Hines, the rest of the coaches that are in this, you know, play-in and playoff, you know, structured thing that's going to happen here with the NHL, that they're going to have to make. What goal are you going to start? You obviously have to put a little bit of stock into, you know, who you're playing, prior performance, but really it's going to come down to who shows up and who's playing. You know, great at the start, who comes in and has a good camp, who looks good if they play exhibition games. It's going to be tough, and you don't have a lot of time to make that decision. And then what do? You know, in game one, you do pick a guy, and the guy struggles in the first game. It's a best of five. Do you make that change right away, or do you risk the chance of, you know, being down 2-0 because you decided to go back with the guy that you chose in game one. It's going to be a really, really tough decision. You know, John Hines and the Predators, you know, the Arizona Coyotes, for that matter, are pretty fortunate because they have two guys that are, you know, high-end goalies, number one goalies, if you will, in this league. So it's, but, you know, how do you pick one? You know, it's going to be a tough decision. And I think a lot of it's going to be based on how they play at training camp and in the exhibition game, if they do that.
We've talked about, you know, John Hines obviously didn't get a training camp. Now he's going to get one, albeit at a different time, but now he's going to get to take these guys through training camp. But we all agree that competition is a good thing. And the taxi squad or the Black Aces, however you want to refer to them, that are going to be here, how beneficial do you think that's going to be for those young, hungry guys that are coming from Milwaukee that were having such a tremendous season, had a chance to win the championship in their league? Now all of a sudden they don't. They're going to be able to push some of these veterans, and they won't necessarily play, but how beneficial do you think that that's going to be to have those guys there?
Well, I think for them it's going to be extremely beneficial. You know, I think the roster is pretty much set, but it definitely gives – John Hines some flexibility in making those decisions. And you know, it's going to be, like you said, that healthy competition. And that's part of it. There's always guys, you know, just hungry and young, and they want to get their opportunity and get their chance. And they, you know, keep fighting. You look at Rocco Grimaldi, you look at Jared Tenorti, you look at all these guys and, you know, the Predators history that have been given that chance and really done something special with it. And these guys are no different. It's an opportunity for them to make an impression on the coach that you don't know yet. Because like you said, John Hines hasn't had a training camp. He doesn't know any of these guys. It's a great opportunity for them, obviously, to get back on the ice, to get familiar with the guys on the team, the way the Nashville Predators do things, be a part of, you know, a playoff, hopefully a big playoff run, and be in that atmosphere at the highest level. And again, someone's always watching. And when you're here, in Nashville, with the Nashville Predators, you have the people watching you that matter most that are making those big decisions. And like I said, it gives John Hines the flexibility, you know, and injuries do happen. And maybe in this situation, I know in the lockout year, team to team, it differs, but, you know, injuries can pile up. And you said it earlier, there's going to be a condensed schedule. And hopefully they do have enough time from training camp to games. I know normal training camps, you know, you start training camp and you play a game 3 days later. So there's not a lot of time, but, you know, guys are skating all summer long. So it's going to be interesting, but you definitely have to have those reserves if you're going to go on a long run. There's no doubt.
Mace, one thing that happened since the last time we talked to you is the NHL had their draft lottery, and what a twist. LA gets the second pick, which isn't that much of a surprise, even though they move up a little bit, and they already have an outstanding group of prospects in the farm system, so they've got to be excited about that. Ottawa and Detroit have to be just cringing right now. Ottawa had two shots at it. They end up with picks 3 and 5, where combined they had a chance of at least a 1 in 4 chance of getting the first pick. Detroit, who had just a god-awful season, one of the worst, maybe the worst, in the salary cap era, end up with the 4th pick. But the real interesting part of it, as many of you know, was that a loser from this qualifying round will get the first pick. It had something like 0.03% of a chance of happening, but it did. And so that is a little bit of a twist that somebody, and it could be the Predators or the Coyotes, whoever loses that series, would have a 12.5% chance of getting the first pick. What a weird scenario.
It's a weird scenario. I don't like it at all, to be honest with you, just because I don't think it's fair. And I know that they put those, you know, the chances in so you don't get the teams, you know, throwing their season away, trying to guarantee the first pick and all that. But you got a potential franchise player at number one in Lafreniere. And I just don't think it's fair if somebody like Pittsburgh gets knocked out, or even Nashville. I mean, it'd be awesome for Nashville if they, it would suck that they lost out, but if they ended up getting the first pick, that'd be you know, a game changer for whoever does it. But it's not really fair, you know, for the teams like Ottawa and Detroit, who are obviously in rebuild situations that, you know, could really need that player and could turn their franchise around. I don't love that. I expect that maybe to be revisited. And I know they're working on the extension on the CBA. Who knows if that's changed in it or not, or if that's one of the things. But it's really too bad that, you know, a team that quite frankly, doesn't deserve to have the number one pick, is going to probably end up getting it. So I don't like it, and it's too bad for, really too bad for Ottawa and Detroit, even though, you know, you want to look out for your own organization, and it's, you know, it'd be if Nashville happened to lose and they got the pick, yeah, it'd be awesome. But I just don't think it's right that, you know, a team of that caliber is going to get that pick.
Well, they should have written in, at least for Pittsburgh, that they weren't allowed to do this because they already got it once. Remember, after the lockout, they got Sidney Crosby when everybody had the same chance. So can you imagine if they end up with the first pick out of this? That's just not – that would really be a disappointment.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the reaction around the league? They're not the most popular team outside of Pittsburgh anyway because, they're so great. It's part of it. You know, they've had a lot of success. But I cannot imagine the backlash if that happened.
No, it's not right. You know, and the Edmonton got it. They had, I think, four or whatever in the last however many years. But they had a bad – they were a terrible team for a lot of years. And they may end up making some bad picks, too, to be honest with you. But, you know, every year to year, it just depends what the draft class is like. And this year, there's a couple of no-brainers at the top. So, yeah, I don't like it. I think, you know, they tried to do the best they can by limiting – you know, the odds and the percentage of a team like that getting that pick, but it's I think they could restructure that a little bit better because I just don't think it's I don't think it's fair.
They're working. You mentioned the CBA, and behind the scenes, you know, they're still trying to ratify things for the go ahead to get all of the protocols in place for this year. But they're also at the same time trying to work out an extension of the CBA, which would be tremendous for the game. Because they're talking about something that could extend it all the way through, what is it, like 2025-26. But it seems like a lot that's going on behind the scenes, Mace, and you've been in this process before. I got my fingers crossed that they work it all out, but there's certainly a lot of issues there with escrow and, you know, how they're going to deal with the financial part of it the next few years as we come out of, hopefully, sooner than later, the pandemic here. But, man, there's a lot on their plates.
Yeah, there is a lot. And I was thinking that today, actually, because I was reading some of the things that I think it was Bob McKenzie or Pierre LeBrun put out there today that, you know, it looks like they're going to be barring any setbacks again. Looks like they're going to be, you know, back into the Olympics in 22 and 26, which
yeah,
I think
that's
is
another
awesome.
Facet of it.
Which is great. I know the players love it, and I know that you know, it just makes that tournament so special, and I'm really happy for that. But yeah, there's a lot of moving parts going on. This is unprecedented times, and you know, it's always tough. It's there's so many different things when players are tied to the escrow and to you know, a lot of owners' decisions and contracts signed, and it's all tied together, and they don't really, you know, have a choice in making those decisions. If, you know, you have an owner that's not doing a good job running their business and signing bad contracts, making bad TV deals, you, as a player, your livelihood and your contract is tied to it. And yes, you make a lot of money, but for a lot of guys, you know, the superstar guys, obviously they're going to have, you know, long, illustrious careers, barring, you know, any health injuries. But for the majority of guys, you know, it's, you're in there 1 or 2 years or 3 or 4 years if you're lucky. And that's the only earning potential that you have. So there's just a lot of different elements, and guys have to be careful. And the NHL, I'll give them a lot of credit. The salary cap to me was inevitable when it happened in my era. And I think it saved the game and made the game so much better because the parity of the league and the competition. I mean, now we look at it every year, Willie, and there's, I don't know how many teams that even don't make the playoffs that had a legit chance, in my opinion, to win the Stanley Cup. So I think everyone's really competitive. The turnaround for teams when they go through a rebuild doesn't take as long because of the salary cap now. And I think that's a good thing for the fan bases in those situations. And every team's going to have to go through it at some point. So I think from that standpoint and where the game's at, I think it's in a really healthy spot. And I think everybody's happy, players included. But there's always those little details that need to be worked out that they're not any fun for anybody to talk about. And I know fans hate it. I hated it when I was involved in it as a player. I hate it now, you know, as a fan and a broadcaster. But it's unfortunately, it's the business part of the game that, you know, nobody really likes to talk about. But it is really essential for both sides.
I think you hit on it, too. It's a really good thing that the league entered into this challenge with the virus as a very healthy group. It was a healthy league. So that's going to help them get through the hardships here that are coming. So with that in mind, Mace, you went through the free agency process a couple of times in your career. You referenced one of them that coincided with the with Avery coming into the world. But if you were a free agent going into this summer, it's a unique year, right? I mean, we're thinking of guys like for the Predators, like a Craig Smith or a Mikhail Granlund, and there's plenty of others too, you know, who won't get as many headlines, but they're looking to see if there's more opportunities out there. What would be going through your mind this year as opposed to other years? How would you try to process that? I would imagine you got to have a good relationship with your agent who can give you honest answers of what the market's going to look like.
Yeah, you're right, Willie. This is tough because, first of all, they've had more time to talk about it and look at all the other different scenarios, and guys have more of, I guess, a timeline to make that decision and to have those conversations. But the flip side of it is, if, you know, there's guys in certain situations where you have families and you have children, you know, we know who knows what's going to happen with school in the fall, but you have to look at those types of things, then uprooting your family. And you don't know if you're going to, you know, hopefully if you sign with the team that you're with, it makes things a lot easier. But if you're going to become a free agent, you're going to have to, you know, talk to multiple different teams. Where are you going to live? Are you going to stay back home in your native country if you're European, or are you going to, you know, just stay where that you played? There's just a lot of different things as a player. It's really, I think, going to be tough for a lot of guys. For the teams, I don't think it really changes much because they just go about business as usual, and they, you know, they have the things and the rosters and the positions that they need to fill. I guess it doesn't really matter on the timeline when they get that done. But for a player, I think it changes things immensely, especially, you know, for the short term. And making all those life decisions, you know, when you have to, you know, move all your stuff, you put it in storage. There's just so many different things away from the actual hockey aspect of it. And you know, looking at rosters too, it's a lot. It's a different world in that regard, especially for this year. And because I don't think they're not going to start till December. Is that what it kind of
right? I mean, that's right now? As you mentioned, I hadn't even thought about that part of it, Mace. I was thinking about just the marketplace. You know, would you be willing to sign a 1-year deal when maybe you thought you were going to get 4 or 5? But you bring up a great one, and that is with this. If they can execute this, you know, this finish to the season, and the free agent period that normally would start today, right, where you would have time to plan for your family and say, okay, we can go in, we can find a place to live. We want to have the kids in school in the middle of August or September. Now, regardless, you'll be, if you change teams, you know, the school year, if you have kids, you know, that would be something to consider for sure, because you'd be coming in midstream, which is not as easy.
Yeah, it's not as easy, but you know what? It's most hockey players are very adaptable, and that's part of the lifestyle. You're used to moving, and you get traded in the middle of the season, and you have to do those types of things as well. It's not ideal, but yeah, it'll be very interesting too, because I would love to, you know, if you guys have David Poile on too, just to see his vantage point of how they're going to approach it. Because like you said, maybe it might be a situation where teams are coming out a little bit differently financially. Not sure what the salary cap situation is going to be moving forward, all those types of things. Because obviously the revenue has gone down from the last part of this year and probably in playoffs. And who knows, hopefully by December, whenever the league gets going, they're back. We're all back to, you know, in quotation marks, normal life again, and we're able to fill the buildings and get the revenue that way, and get some nice TV deals for the NHL. But who knows? I don't know. I'm guessing that's going to have a major impact on what teams do and the length of contracts, and you know what guys are going to do, where they're willing to go. If it's a 1-year deal, I think it's going to take a little longer to decide what team you're going to go. If you're going to go for, you know, you're deciding between a couple 1-year deals, or you're deciding between a 1-year deal and a 4-year deal that's on the table for a player. That's really going to, you know, make a lot of tough decisions for guys coming out this year, and that's very possible. I'd love to hear what, you know, David Poile and some of the general managers have to say about their approach to free agency this year, because it's definitely going to be different.
Mace, good stuff as always. Carry on, and hopefully we're getting a day closer to seeing some hockey being played here very soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care and hope to see you soon.
All right. That's Chris Mason joining us to talk hockey. He does every Wednesday at 1 o'clock here on the show. Stay tuned. will continue forward. We'll mix in a lot of pieces of news on all that has happened today. There's been plenty going on. TSSAA level. We've had hockey news today, as we just talked about. We'll cover some other things as well that we haven't gotten to. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming here on 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.